Hi, this is Michael Buffer, and welcome to the Box Hard Podcast.
Hello, everyone. This is Mikey Garcia.
This is the monster from the swamp, Regis Ruru Progre.
Hey, what's up? This is King Carlos Molina, former IBF world champ.
This is Michael, the bounty hunter, 2012 Olympian and your people's champ.
This is Charlie Edwards, flyweight champion of the world.
This is Fast Eddie Chambers, and you're listening to the Box Hard Podcast with my main man, Joey Cosmo.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode 414 of the Box Hard Podcast. I'm your host, Joey Coastman. I'm joined, as ever, by former heavyweight world title challenger, Mr. Fast Eddie Chambers. I gave him 2 weeks off, unpaid leave, and he's back.
I'm back, baby. How you feeling, though? You all right, Joe? I'm asking you the question this time.
Yeah, I'm good. I'm glad to have you back. I missed you. I'm sure the listeners did as well. But yeah, let's dive. Yeah, no, of course, it's 100% Eddie. Let's dive straight into the review part of the show, though. One fight card I want to mention that took place last week. I don't remember where now, but it was for the WBA Continental America's Super Bantamweight title, I believe. Erica Cruz with the points win wide in the end against friend of the show, Melissa Odessa Parker. I know it went down in Mexico. I can't remember where, but all the best there to Erica Cruz. Quite impressive to win wide against Parker. But yeah, all the best as well to Parker, like I say, friend of the show. Again, the review part's going to be really brief. We're going to move now to the American Bank Center. It went down over there as well in Corpus Christi, Texas, USA. This one was live on ESPN, live on Sky Sports here in the UK. A lot of fights took place last Friday. Again, the date for that, September the 15th. Let's start with the undercard over here. Emiliano Vargas with a TKO win in round three. He's now 7-0, a TKO in round three against Alejandro Guardado, who was undefeated, but he's lost his O. He's now 5-1. Ruben Villa with a unanimous decision over eight rounds at featherweight. He's now 21-1, a unanimous decision, like I say, over eight against Brandon Valdez, now 15-4. Xander Zayas, now 17-0. Really good win, actually, against Roberto Valenzuela Jr., who, you know, he's limited. He's 21-5. Limited, but a big puncher. And yeah, Zayas busted his face up. I think might have broke his nose. Fifth round TKO there for young Zayas, who also holds the NABF and WBO, NABO super welterweight titles. Also on the card as well. A fight that wasn't the best in terms of excitement, but Jermaine Ortiz now 17-1 with a draw, a unanimous decision over 10 rounds there against Antonio Moran, now 29-6 with a draw. The main event, Luis Alberto Lopez with another win, now 29-2. He carries on that tremendous win streak, a defense successful of his IBF world featherweight title, unanimous decision against the ever so tough Joet Gonzalez, now 26-4. I think it was to be expected. I think I remember saying on last week's show, I thought he would go the distance. I didn't think that Lopez would knock Gonzalez out. However, I thought it would be a good fight. It would be competitive. And yeah, that really is what happened. I think some of the scorecards were quite wide to Lopez. I think it just goes to show how much Lopez has improved. It was really good last week hosting the show with Jamel Herrin, who, you know, had a lot of insight to this whole entire card, of course, because he commentated on the whole thing and was getting ready, you know, to be commentating on it when we did the show. So yeah, great stuff there. And yeah, moving out now to this one. It went down at the John Marshall Ballrooms in Richmond, Virginia, USA. It was live on Fight TV. Over here, just two fights to mention. Jerry Forrest, the heavyweight, with a win, now 27-6 with two draws, a unanimous decision over eight there against Robert Hall Jr., who's now 14-2. And Dusty Hernandez Harrison, friend of the show, I said he was fighting here at light heavyweight. In the end, it ended up being an error, and he was actually boxing at cruiserweight. So yeah, like I say, in his heyday he weighed 147. He's up here at 186.5, but he has had an extremely rough time outside of the ring, losing his father. Good to see him back. He's been out for a number of years, but he's 35-0 with a draw, a TKO in round 3 against Ronald Montez, who's now 19-19 with a draw. And yeah, moving to the final two cards to mention. This one went down at the Commerce Casino in California, USA. It was live on DAZN. It was an Oscar De La Hoya show. We saw Yocasta Val move to 29-2, a unanimous decision over 10 two-minute rounds against Maria Santizo. 11-4 Santizo now. Val was actually cut as well from an accidental head clash in round 7, but it was a win for her. She, I believe she still has the two belts. I think she went into the fight with both the belts. I don't think it was a champion versus a champion, but anyway, she has the IBF and WBO world minimum weight titles. Forgive me for not following her career super closely. But yeah, the main event, William Zepeda, now 29-0, a KO for him in round 6 against Masito Gesta of the Philippines, now 34-4 with 3 draws. I said, you know, on last week's show, Gesta, his confidence was at an all-time high, beating Jojo Diaz, big upset. I think, what was that, last year or early this year, whatever. Yeah, you know, his confidence was at an all-time high, but Zepeda, when he turns up, he is a fantastic fighter who I think has a really bright future. But again, I think he needs to be kind of stepped up a little bit now. 29-0, a bunch of knockouts, and I think, you know, it's a problem for anyone in the lightweight division, but I think the fights need to be made. I think obviously Golden Boy behind him, I think we need to see the big fights go down for him now. Obviously there's that fight that can be made in-house with him and Ryan Garcia. I think that's a very risky one. I don't think we're going to want to see, or I don't think Oscar De La Hoya is going to want to see both his kind of marquee guys get in with each other, because, you know, one would lose. But yeah, he needs to do something with these guys, because, you know, I think there seems to be a bit of a struggle with Golden Boy's fighters getting top fights. I know that Ryan's had a couple of decent ones, obviously Javonte Davis and stuff like that, working with other promoters. But William Zepeda, I think, needs his shot now. I think he's proved enough how exciting he is, how real the power is and the rest of it. But it was a good win for his record, but I don't want to see many more of these types of fights for Zepeda. And yeah, the final card to mention went down on Monday, this Monday, September the 18th, just a few days ago, at the Ariake Arena in Tokyo, Japan. Two fights to mention over here. Kenshiro Taraji, now 22-1, still the WBC and WBA Super World Light Flyweight Champion. A TKO for him in round 9 against South Africa's Hecky Budler, now 35-5. Budler tried his best with that body attack, but Taraji managed to get there in the end. Very good fight. Budler, extremely tough. And yeah, certainly came to win, of course. Good win there for Taraji. And yeah, Junto Nakatani, I expected him to probably get the stoppage here against RG Cortez, who, again, is an extremely, extremely tough fighter. You know, I said on last week's show, I was very, very impressed with Nakatani in his last fight, knocking out Andrew Maloney in what was it, the 12th and final round with about, 10 or 12 seconds left on the clock. It was a brutal knockout, one of the most brutal of the whole year. And I was excited to see him get in with RG Cortez, who is very durable, hadn't ever been stopped. I thought we might be able to stop him, but no. Nakatani, in quite a decent fight, had to answer a few questions himself in there as well. Still the WBO World Super Flyweight Champion, still undefeated, now 26-0. But a good fight for him, a good learning fight. And RG Cortez now 25-4 with 2 draws. But anyway, that brings the review part to a close. It's now time to welcome this week's special guest. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome the hard-hitting super middleweight contender. It is, of course, Mr. Zach Parker. Zach, welcome back on the show, my friend.
Yeah, good to be back, mate. How are you?
Very well, very well. Now I'm speaking with you, Zach. So we last spoke back in November of last year. At that time, you were getting ready for that John Ryder fight. Let's touch on that briefly. Walk me through the fight, Zach, if possible.
Yeah, obviously, it finished quite early. I think it was like the fourth round, so I was just warming up into it, really. But obviously, in sports, you get injured sometimes and you can't help it. It's just like football. If they broke a leg or injured a leg, they're not going to carry on, are they? So yeah, it's a bit sweet, but yeah, I'm back now, so back fully fit and can't wait to be fighting again.
And Zach, I wanted to, you mentioned there, you made a comparison with a football player, breaking a leg or whatever. Just describe, if you can, the pain, because I understand it was a bit kind of strange when the shot landed.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, I hit him, I think it was like with an uppercut or something like that. And then it obviously went then. And then I punched with it after, and I just felt it just like fold in on itself. I was thinking, after it, you know what I mean? So, like I say, it's just fucking sport, innit? So you can't help it sometimes. But yeah, I didn't feel much pain when it was in there. I think the adrenaline took over. But when it was killing. I had to have like different paracetamols and then swelling started going up, and my hand was black by the next day. So yeah, it went good.
No, for sure. And I just wanted to say as well, obviously at the time, I know you're not someone who scrolls through social media and reads what everyone has to say, but a lot of people very quick to start coming out with all sorts of accusations. Those people, I don't think, saw the Darryl Williams fight a few years ago, in which you had to deal with an injury throughout pretty much the entirety of that fight, still managed to win. But yeah, like I say, it was an unfortunate way to not only lose your O, but also lose that number one spot. You were ranked there for what seemed like, honestly, decades. Life been like since then? I was quite surprised to see that they'd completely took you out of the top 15, unfortunately.
Yeah, that's it. Obviously, I think I got bumped down to like fifth at first, and then obviously with being inactive, you can't, like, I've been injured. I couldn't even get into the gym or anything. I was just sitting on my arse. But yeah, obviously you need to fight to stay in the top 15, and obviously I ain't fought in almost a year now. So yeah, I don't blame them. But like I say, I'm here now. I'm ready to get back in there with the big lads fighting this weekend, just get a run out, and then hopefully top 10 opponent next.
Just briefly before we get on to that, Zach, obviously John Ryder did get the shot at Canelo. I'm sure you'd have obviously been devastated to have lost to him, but Ryder, I think we both agree, really nice guy. I'm sure you'd have been hoping that he could have got the job done. In the end, he put up a valiant effort. Did you see much of the fight at all?
Yeah, I seen the highlights of it. I didn't really watch it too far. It's on in the middle of the night, and it's like 5 o'clock in the morning when you've got a new baby. It's a bit hard, but He put up a good performance, to be fair, against one of the best in Canelo. But yeah, like you said, he's one of the nice guys, so I was hoping that he had won, and hopefully he got a rematch on. But yeah, it's a bit of a shame, but Canelo's still there to be beat, isn't he? So you've seen him against the when he boxed Golovkin, he looks like he's going down on the down low. So yeah, there's a couple of there's a couple of weaknesses in there for Canelo, I think.
We'll see. He's fighting Charlo, obviously. Not long to wait for that as well. Back onto yourself. Like we said, you'll be having your first fight back this weekend. So the hand is 100% healed now.
Yeah, that's it, 100%. I'm feeling mint with that. I've been sparring the last six, 7 weeks, doing 10 rounds, and it's all been perfect. So, yeah, I'm fully fit. Like I said, I just can't wait to get back in there. It's been a lifetime. When I first did it, I was thinking, is there any point in even doing it? Keep getting injured. And then obviously I've been inactive this last 2 years. But yeah, I said to my trainer this morning, I never thought we'd get back to this, fight week and that. But yeah, we're here now. And like I said, I just can't wait to get in there now.
And yeah, you'll be returning on that Zhang Joyce 2 undercard this Saturday, live on TNT Sport at the Wembley Arena. You'll be boxing, I think it's fair to say, an extremely durable journeyman, Khalid Grady. I've seen him once or twice before. What are you expecting come fight night, Zach?
I ain't taking it lightly. These are the sort of fights you can slip up in if you take it too lightly. I've seen him seen a few clips of him. He comes to fight, and there's been now a few good lads. He boxed Dan Aziz, and I think it was like July, and it went the distance. So yeah, I'm looking forward to a hard fight, and he's going to keep coming. But when you keep coming at me, you're going to be walking on shots, and I'll be finding an opening. So yeah, I'm looking for a good fight. So I think it's going to be a good fight for the fans, and hopefully get this one out of the way, and then hoping for a big end to the year.
Yeah, I was going to say, no disrespect to Gradia, but obviously it's just a comeback fight. I was going to ask, do you think it would just be one kind of fight at this level and then jumping back in at a higher level? Is that right?
Yeah, I want straight back in there, top 10 at least. I don't want to wait around anymore. I'm 30. I'm 30 next year. So, yeah, I don't want to be just doing these stupid fights. I want to be in there with the big lads. There's quite a few good fights out there, super middle and light heavy. You got obviously lots of Celeb Plant and Benavidez at super, and then obviously there's people at light heavy like Yod. He could be a future opponent. We're both part of the same promotional company, so yeah, there's a lot of big fights out there. And like I say, I want to get the ring rust off this weekend, and then that's what we're aiming for next. Well, even next or the next one after that, somewhere in the top 10.
And Zach, providing you don't sustain any kind of injury or cut, touch wood, on the weekend, ideally, when would you like to be out after this?
I said straight away, to be fair.
Yeah.
Maybe end of the year, like December time. But if they can't start next year, like I want to be active again. You seen what I was like when I was active. You seen me against like Marcus Morrison. I was firing all cylinders then. So yeah. This last couple of years have been a bit frustrating, obviously, with it. Andre kept pulling out, and then you get injured in the next fight. It's just been a bit of a couple of shit years, but yeah, I want to get active, but hopefully Christmas time or just after.
And Zach, you mentioned a lot of guys there, some of them super middleweight, some up at light heavyweight. Do you feel like you're going to wind up at light heavyweight rather than staying at super middle? Where's your head at with that?
Well, I'll see what options there is. Obviously, I'm massive for super middleweight. I can do light heavy easy. You see, when I stand against these light heavies, I'm bigger than them. So, yeah. Like I said, I'm 30 now, coming up to 30 next year. So, yeah, it gets more of a struggle every time with the weight. But, yeah. If there's some big fights out at light heavy, I'll definitely take with both hands.
And one thing that I wondered actually, Zach, as well, was I think nowadays in boxing, that undefeated record, that O, is actually very sacred, very important. You know, not like MMA, for example, where some of the best guys have got multiple losses. But when you no longer have an O to protect in boxing, does that element of risk diminish slightly? Obviously, I'm not claiming that you didn't want big fights in the past. I know you did. But you were sitting on a ranking at number one. Taking major risks while being number one is very dangerous in itself. But with you not ranked at number one now, and without that O to protect, are we more likely to maybe see you slung in the deeper end, so to speak?
Well, I hope so. That's what I've been wanting for how many years. I've been wanting these big fights, but people just don't want to just jump in with like a dangerous lad what's coming up. But obviously now, if they think they can beat me now, I've had a loss to an injury, they can come and bring it, can't they? But I said this to someone not longer. I said I'd rather just jump in there with anyone now. It don't matter, does it? Nothing's on the line. I can pave my own path. But yeah. I'm seeing it for the big fights now, and like I say, I'm coming up to 30. I need to start getting these world title fights in now while I'm coming up to my prime.
Yeah, well, there we go. Like I say, Zach, I've pretty much blown through everything I had for you. I can't wait for Saturday just to see you back. I can't wait for you to remind the public just how good you are when you're firing on all cylinders, when you're back active. Just before we wrap it up, if you've got any closing words to the listeners, a final message before we let you go, the floor is yours, my man.
Yeah, just tune in to TNT Sports this weekend if you're not going. It's going to be a good show. It is. Obviously, Joe Joyce and Zhang on, and there's a lot of there's a mint undercard. So yeah, any of the Derby people out there, come watch us, give me a bit of support on TNT.
There we go. Listen, Zach, it's always a pleasure speaking with you, mate. Thanks for your time. Yes, best of luck for Saturday, and we'll speak sometime after.
Yeah, nice one.
Okay, now it's time for part two on this week's show. This part, of course, usually the news part of the show. Nothing to mention at the moment, so we move straight to the preview part. If anything, in terms of news breaks whilst we've been recording the show, then I will speak about it at the very end on the outro. But yeah, going to the preview part, we're going to start here at the G-Tech Arena in Magdeburg, Saxon-Anhalt, Germany. Two fights to mention over here. We're going to see Tom Schwartz, 27-1. That one loss, of course, we remember to Tyson Fury back in 2019, 4 years ago. In that time, he's had three fights, all three wins by stoppage. Two in the first round, one in round six. He gets in here, though, with Konstantin Dovbychenko, who I know I'm saying his name extremely wrong, but one of the very toughest heavyweights in terms of, you know, he's not really a jerk. Well, I guess he's a bit of a journeyman, but extremely, extremely tough guy. 10-13 with one draw, never been stopped, been in there with some real big punchers, Moses Itauma, Andre Rudenko, Vladislav Serenko, Jose Lardou, Marcin Siwi, Eric Pfeiffer, Zan Kosobutski, and many others, never been stopped. And obviously last time, come over to the UK and upset the undefeated heavyweight Matty Harris, knocked him out in round five. So yeah, he will be extremely confident, but he gets in with Tom Schwartz. Like I say, it's over 10 rounds there in Germany. My pick would have to be Schwartz to win on points, but you know, I don't even know what his gas tank's like. I think that could be quite interesting there. I wouldn't write Dovbychenko off at all. Schwartz needs to be on his P's and Q's, but I don't think he's going to get Dovbychenko out of there. And Schwartz isn't really the biggest puncher at the best of times, I don't think. Also on the card as well, we should mention former world champion Tyrone Zoyga, 26-1 with a draw. He gets in with Nasser Boukenya, who is 6-3. That's over 8 rounds there. Moving now to this one. It goes down at the Wembley Arena. It's the big one taking place in London, in United Kingdom, obviously, live on TNT Sport. I don't know if it's pay-per-view. I'm going to assume it's probably not. I'm going to be at this card, so I'm extremely excited for it. I think the entire card is stacked of names that I know. I'm going to be getting there early doors because I want to see every fight on the card. But yeah, let's talk about some of these fights here. I'll come to you, Eddie, obviously, for the bigger ones. Let's start with the very first fight on the card, as far as I'm aware. We're going to see Sean Noakes, who is currently 5-0 with 3 KOs. He gets in with a guy called Lucas Barabaz, who's 2-8. Never been stopped, though, so I'd say quite durable. Looking at some of the guys he's lost to, I don't actually recognise any of these names. I'm going to have to look a little bit more into that. It'd be interesting to see if he's been in with any punches and stuff like that in his 8 losses. Also on the card, we're going to see Aloys Yumbi, who's 4-1 with 4 KOs. He's in a 6-rounder here at Cruiserweight against Eric Nazarian, who again is a really tough guy, 29-33 with 4 draws. Only been stopped 6 times though in his 33 losses. 38 years of age now. The Georgian living in Belgium. Last time out, lost on points to Roman Fury, another one of the brothers of Tyson Fury. We've seen him go the distance with Hosea Burton, Aniz Taj, got stopped by Simon Valili. You know, this guy, for the most part, is a very, very tough guy. Will Aloys Yumbi be able to get him out of there in 6 rounds? That's the question. I would probably say yeah, because Yumbi's a real strong, tough, big guy, and punches certainly very hard. So that'd be interesting, I think, while it lasts. I'm going to look at that, to be honest, because, yeah, you know, Nazarian does know how to survive. It'd be interesting, that one. Also on the card as well, Tommy Fletcher, 5-0 with 4 KOs. He gets in with Alberto Tapia of Spain, who is 3-4. I'd expect Tommy Fletcher to get a stoppage here. We're also going to see Moses Itauma, 4-0, two KOs, unbelievable. Started, you know, his pro career banging two guys out within a round each, and then got in there with Konstantin Dovbychenko, took the distance, got in there with another really tough guy, Kevin Espindola, took the distance, now finds himself against Amin Buscetta, who's 7-8, but only been stopped the one time. Another really, really tough guy. They're getting him in there with these really durable heavyweights. The one time he got stopped was back in September last year to Artur Mann. He was stopped in round four. I haven't seen that fight. Artur Mann, not really a big puncher. So, yeah, I don't know what to make of this, you know. He's been six rounds with Tommy Welch, another heavyweight who, again, I don't think is a massive puncher. If there's value in points wins here, I'm going to probably, you know, have a little go on these. Also on the card, Royston Barney Smith, 6-0, looking real good actually since turning pro. He gets in with Enkel Gomez, who's 8-17 with a draw. Yeah, going to be good to see Royston Barney Smith out again. We're also going to see Ezra Taylor, 6-0 with 4 KOs. He steps in with the very seasoned but domestic ceiling Joel McIntyre, 20-7. Joel McIntyre in a bit of bad form. You know, he's lost all three of his last three. The worst loss of the lot was a second round TKO loss to Lyndon Arthur, but since then lost on points to Ricky Summers, lost on points to Shakan Pitters, but quite a durable guy for the most part, you know. Gets in with Ezra Taylor, who I was at his last fight. He boxed Khalid Gradia, who is also on this card, boxing Zach Parker, who we just spoke to, but I don't want to confuse anyone. But basically, Khalid Gradia landed a hell of a lot of left hooks on Ezra Taylor, and I didn't really like to see that. I thought, wow, what's going on here? He seems very, very open. Joel McIntyre, I think, will land a few decent shots on Ezra Taylor. I don't think Ezra's going to absolutely walk through Joel McIntyre. I think Ezra Taylor will probably win the fight, but I wouldn't be surprised to see this go the distance, in all honesty. What else do we have? We've got Zach Parker. We just spoke to him, like I say, 22-1. He gets in there with the very tough Khalid Gradia, 10-12 with 4 draws. Only been stopped the one time, though, and that was back in 2017. So quite a long time ago now. Been in there with Carol Itauma, lost on points. Been in there with Ezra Taylor, lost on points. Been in there with Dan Aziz, lost on points. Went 8 rounds with all 3 of those guys, and they are his last 3 fights. It's a 10 rounder here against Zach Parker. It's going to be interesting to see how he comes back as well. Obviously hasn't boxed since breaking his hand against John Ryder and, you know, pulling himself out or whatever. Just going to be good to see him back. Obviously, listeners will know, got a lot of love for Zach. Also on the card as well, we spoke to him, I think, last week. Sam Noakes, 11-0 with 11 KOs. It's a defense of his WBC International Silver Lightweight title. He gets in with Carlos Perez, who's 19-7 with 2 draws. Once again, a durable guy. Perez only been stopped the one time. It was against Samuel Molina, another Spaniard who's a decent fighter, to be honest with you. That was back in 2019. He lost as well to Corey Gibbs when he last visited the UK. That was back in the middle part of last year. Corey Gibbs, not really a puncher. Sam Noakes, of course, will come out looking for him. And Sam Noakes said on last week's show, if it goes the distance, he'll be devastated. So he'll be looking for knockout number 12. He wants to keep that streak going, but it might be difficult to get it. We're going to have to wait and see. I don't know the latest on this, but Anthony Yard was scheduled to take on Ricky Summers. It looks like Ricky Summers is out of the fight. I haven't seen the reason behind why, but Ricky Summers isn't on the sheet anymore. Anthony Yard scheduled to face TBA. Hopefully we do see him on the card. It'll be a great shame if he's off of it. Obviously was really looking forward to seeing him come back, even though I didn't think he'd have much of a problem with Ricky Summers. I thought he'd stop him quite early. But anyway, 23-3, Anthony Yard. Be great to see him back. Obviously, I was at his last fight, his only fight this year against Artur Beterbiev. It was a great fight while it lasted. Pierce O'Leary as well, 12-0, gets in with Kane Gardner, 16-2. It's for the WBC International Super Lightweight title. Again, I think this is going to be a really, really good fight. Kane Gardner, has a win last time out against Conor Walker, who we saw go on to upset Cyrus Patterson. So I think that speaks for itself there. Quite a good fighter. You know, his two losses, let's be completely honest, he lost to Tom Farrell on a majority decision over three rounds in one of those prize fighter type tournament things. I don't read much into those kind of losses. And then his other loss came on points to Ben Fields. However, he had beaten Ben Fields in the fight before that. They had two fights back to back, and it was a close win for him the first time. The second time he lost on points, and it was close in the loss, just a point in it there. So I don't read too much into either of his losses, but obviously gets in with Pierce O'Leary, who, yeah, I mean, ticking all the boxes. I've heard a lot of inside information about how good this guy is. 12-0, 7 KOs. They're expecting him to go in there and knock Gardner out, but you can more than triple your money on Pierce O'Leary to win on points. I think that's a very good bet. Gardner's never been stopped or anything like that, but probably not been in against this good of a fighter. But then again, some would argue Conor Walker is, you know, he's proven that he's maybe on a higher level than what Pierce has shown just yet, under the bright lights at least. Yeah, really interesting fight there, and we're going to see Pierce O'Leary, I think, come through victorious. And if he stops him, I think it's a statement, actually. But yeah, I wouldn't want to bet against O'Leary. And the main event, the big rematch, Eddie Zili Zhang, 25-1 with a draw. He gets in with Joe Joyce. Immediate rematch, of course, 15-1 Joyce. The one loss inflicted by this man, Zhang. 12 rounds for the WBO Interim World Heavyweight title. I'm going to come to you straight away, Eddie. Thoughts on the fight and prediction?
Oh, man. About to run it back again. Looking forward to it, actually. The first one was pretty interesting. I didn't expect it to be. Obviously, I don't think any of us expected it to go the way it did. Honestly, I always question, and, you know, this is no dig at Joe Joyce. Joe Joyce has obviously done great with what he has. And he's proven to be a juggernaut up to the time he fought Zhang. And, it always just was so, perplexing to me. Like, he just didn't really look over all that special. You know, it didn't look like it was really much that he brought to the table that would really put fear in the eyes of his opponents. It just didn't look it. Now, George Foreman, I can't say that, because George Foreman, I think when, you know, when he hits guys, back in the day, it looked, pretty frightening, but it just doesn't seem, Joe Joyce didn't have that. So it was always so, made me wonder, like, why are these guys, and, so he having such a hard time with them. You know, sometimes they seem like they couldn't even hit him the right way, or hit him the way you would expect. I was just always like, damn, it just must be something about his style, or the way he throws punches, or his motor, which I do think that's a big, a big reason why he's so difficult to deal with, is that I'm not going to say he's not a huge puncher, but it doesn't seem that his punches have that effect, certain one punch guys would have, but it's an accumulative kind of effect with Joe Joyce. So, but I just, from now then watching him with Zhang, it kind of says, okay, well, this is what kind of I would have expected. Now, I would have thought that Zhang would have struggled. I would have thought that eventually, Joe Joyce would have gotten to the point where he was, able to get him out of there, because, Zhang sensed a blow toward the end of the fight, or in the middle to the end of the fight. But it wasn't the case. And it looked like Zhang was able to deal with whatever Joyce had, and the opposite wasn't true. It was just, he was struggling a lot with what Zhang was bringing. And honestly, if I'm to be as honest as possible, this is not a dig at Joyce, I just don't see anything too different with this fight coming up. I think this is going to pretty much be a similar type of situation. Although maybe this time, there's going to be maybe a slight adjustment with Joe Joyce and what he does. Maybe he's able to, pick up the pace, but at the same time, be a little bit more defensively responsible. To keep himself from taking too much punishment, or to not to get caught with such good shots like he did with Zhang in the first fight. But, I don't really see much different. The only thing that I'm hoping for Zhang is that he doesn't get caught in a situation where he catches Joyce early and gets him hurt and he blows his load and obviously falls apart. You know what I mean? That's, you know, one of the things that I'm hoping for Zhang, if I'm a supporter of his, not to see. But I just, I don't know. It's just, and I, like I said, I'm not trying to take anything away from Joyce. It's just that he, his style isn't aesthetically pleasing. You understand what I'm saying? It's not for a person who watches boxing to say, oh, I want to see this kind of explosive action going on and punches from a guy. So you're not going to get that from Joe Joyce. What you're going to get is a guy who's who has that workman-like, you know, pace. And he's just going to keep the pace going the entire fight. And I hope for his sake that that works this time, but I just don't see anything different happening. And I think Zhang, if he's able to, you know, land something early like he did and hurt Joe, or, you know, get the effects to, you know, show on his face, I think we might get a repeat performance with this fight, because I just don't really see anything, you know, unbelievably different that could possibly happen. I just really don't. Because it to me, if I would have seen Joe Joyce's punches that, you know, this is the ones he landed on Zhang, because he landed quite a few, if I would have seen more effect coming from them, I would say, hey, it's a possibility Joe Joyce can win this fight just as easy as Zhang can win it, maybe by stoppage late. But I'm not sure. I'm not sure. It just didn't seem like the effect was there. And I think, you know, he needs that in this fight in order to. Now, let me qualify that by saying he could still win it by a decision. I'm not saying it's impossible for him to do that. But I just think that the way the fight looks, and the way at least the previous fight looked, is that he's gonna have to do more than that, because Zhang is going to be on him. And once he lands one of those shots, like I said, I could see a repeat effect.
We'll have to wait and see. You know, going into the first fight, I remember vividly saying on the podcast that Zhang is tailor-made for Joyce. You know, slow feet, big, cumbersome, and Joyce is just going to, you know, this is made for him. He's going to stand right in front of Joyce. Joyce is going to outwork him. Joyce is going to hurt him like he's done everyone that stepped in front of him and stayed in front of him. Too slow, no gas tank. Joyce is just going to pepper him and eventually get a stoppage when Zhang can't take any more. That's how I saw the first fight going. I was very shocked at the chin of Zhang. You know, he was able to take big shots off of Joyce that many other people haven't been able to stand up to. I was very shocked by that. I think it's important to remember that Zhang was extremely tired at the point of the stoppage. And obviously the stoppage was due to, you know, a really badly swollen eye for Joe Joyce. I think, you know, like I said, the punches weren't having an effect on Zhang, but I think it was starting to get to the point where I expected Joyce to take over with his work rate, with his unquestionable engine. I am extremely confident once again in Joe Joyce, and that's where my money is. I'm stunned that Joe Joyce is 3-1 to win this fight by a KO. I think that's insane. I think he's also 3-1 to win on points. I think that's insane. But to win, you can more than double your money on some betting sites. Just like the first fight, I thought the first fight was free money to bet on Joyce, and I was wrong. And I understand I could be wrong again. But I cannot pass up on those odds. I don't think Joyce to win by a KO being 3-1, he shouldn't be that against any heavyweight boxer in the world, in my opinion. Especially not Zhang, who I think is quite limited. 40 years of age now as well, Zhang. You know, people forget about that. I know Joyce is 38. We talk about how old he is, but Zhang being even older. For me, it was very simple, actually, in the first fight. Joyce was just unloading shots, unloading combinations exclusively to the body of Zhang. He was standing in front of Zhang, landing a six-punch combination to the body of Zhang, and he wasn't bringing his hands back to defend himself. Zhang was just launching a 1-2, boom, boom, straight down the pipe, big, stiff, thick arms, big, heavy, you know, fists. His fists are like, you know, sledgehammers, and he was just going, you know, bang, bang, straight shots right down the pipe. Joyce neglected his jab, and Joyce was throwing these combinations to the body, standing flat-footed, square on, right in front of him, open to big shots coming back. Joyce has got a great chin. Joyce, I think, even got wobbled at one point because he left himself so open. for me, it's that simple. Joyce just needs to not exclusively hunt for the body. I think Zhang is going to tire anyway. I don't think you need to start investing in the body to make him tire even sooner. He will tire everywhere. Anyway, he tires every single fight he has. When you get to about six rounds, he's extremely tired. I think at that point, Joyce should start, you know, standing in front of him a little bit more. But I think for the first few rounds, you know, rounds one, two, three, four, five, six, try to use your feet, Joe. Jab. You know, be on the back foot. Let him walk to you. Tire him out that way. Let him keep coming forward, trying to land something of note. But I know that Joyce obviously doesn't have the best feet. But Joyce, for me, needs to not, you know, not meet him in the middle of the ring and trade shots with him early on. You can do that when he starts to tire. And I think basically, Joyce, I think he's a much better fighter than Zhang. Way better in almost every single area. But he could not have got the tactics worse the first time round. I think he's smart enough. I think he's good enough to not make those same mistakes. But to be honest, I think he made every mistake he could have made. And that, for me, is the only way Zhang could have won. Unless he goes and does the exact same thing again, I can't see him losing. And like I say, 3-1 for the KO is incredible. Like, incredible. But obviously, people saw the outcome of the first fight. He got stopped, quote unquote, obviously, due to an eye injury. I'm not disputing that. It's a stoppage victory. Credit to Zhang. Massive credit to Zhang. But I don't think that told the whole story of the fight. And I can't believe the price I'm seeing on Joyce. Like, I cannot scroll past that price. It's too good not to take. Yeah, Eddie, you are muted for a sec. Was you going to jump in with something?
I was going to say, I agree with most of what your take was on how you know, purported that, you know, he wins and that there's very small chance for Zhang. The thing that I just don't, like I said, maybe it's just the aesthetics that I'm getting caught up in, but Joe Joyce never, like I said, has that. He doesn't have that impressive style. If I'm going to say that anything, the explosive power and skill and the skill we're talking about, you know, aesthetic skill, like certain things you look at, it lies with Zhang. However, the motor, I agree 100%. The motor, the IQ, even all of those things, I do think lie with Joyce, and it is up to him in order to put this fight to rest. And where, why he was favored in the first fight to win, why most people figure he would win in the first fight, was that he would wear Zhang down. Honestly, I thought that, you know, maybe he would wear him down or just get him out of there anyway, because it looked as if his power was so potent with most of the other guys he's faced. But then watching what happened the first time and seeing how his punches didn't have as much of an effect on Zhang makes me kind of wonder. Now, you're right. Zhang does get, but he does blow. And eventually, I think in the fight, that's going to be the difference. Like you said, I think, you know, once he gets to, you know, 7, 8, 9, it's going to be Joe's fight. You know what I mean? And he needs to take control. And if for whatever reason he's not able to gain control by then, he might as well just pack it in. But the reality of it is, yes, I agree with that take. But it really all depends on what Zhang has in the tank once it gets to 7, 8, 9. And if he has anything left and he's able to still keep going, kind of like he did with Hrgović, where I felt like he actually won that fight. I don't know. Could be different. You know, we'll see. We'll see. I mean, I do understand why you like Joe, and it makes sense to, and 3-1 is a little bit crazy to think that he's that much of a dog, even after one fight that he lost. And to be quite honest, it did look like he was getting in back into the fight at the time of the stoppage. So, yeah, I think it is a little bit crazy.
We'll have to wait and see, though. I've been just counting down the weeks for this because, you know, I saw the price initially and I thought, wow. And initially, you could get even more than 3-1. I just cannot understand that. Like, that is crazy. I think these bookies are drunk off the first result. But anyway, moving now to the final card to mention. It goes down also on Saturday, but live on DAZN, an Eddie Hearn show, obviously, Matchroom Boxing. It goes down at the Carib Royale Orlando in Orlando, Florida, USA. A little bit of controversy here, because just earlier in the day yesterday, Conor Benn announced to return to the ring here, 21-0. He steps in with Rodolfo Orozco, who's 32-3 with three draws. That's over 10 rounds there. Conor Benn back in the ring sparked a lot of controversy. Like I say, a lot of people not happy with that online. Austin Amo Williams, 14-0. I don't know if you want to have a say on this at all, Eddie, but I'll come to you in a moment if you do. But Austin Amo Williams, 14-0, in a bit of a step up. He gets in with Steve Rolls, 22-2. It's over 10 rounds there for the IBF North American middleweight title. Also on the card, a really good fight here for the WBC, WBO, WBA, and IBO World Welterweight female titles. Jessica McCaskill, friend of the show, 12-3. She steps in with the UK's Sandy Ryan, who's 6-1. I think this could steal the show, in all honesty, even though it's obviously a women's fight. There's a couple of decent fights on this card, obviously. You know, Conor Benn's always quite exciting. Amo Williams against Steve Rolls, I think, is going to be a good fight. And the main event, which we haven't even mentioned yet, is going to be a good fight. But this could potentially steal the show, because Jessica McCaskill likes to bring it. She fights like a Mexican from the 1950s. And she gets in with Sandy Ryan, who we've seen before. If she gets drawn into a bit of a fight, she does not perform to her best. And I can't really see her not being dragged into a fight against McCaskill. You know, McCaskill's obviously got a lot more pro experience than Ryan. Ryan's got a lot more amateur experience than McCaskill. Like I say, I can see this being a bit of a war. Sandy Ryan, if she were able to keep her head and box smart, she'd still have to box, you know, incredibly well here. She'd have to put in a career best performance to beat Jessica McCaskill on points and outpoint her and outsmart her. It can be done, but it's not going to be easy. McCaskill, I think, is the favourite just slightly. And I think the odds as well on that are quite interesting. McCaskill really should be the big favourite, but McCaskill hasn't looked too great in her recent performances. And the main event, we had him on about 2 or 3 weeks ago. Richardson Hitchens, Eddie, 16-0. Steps in with Jose Zepeda, 37-3. It's for the IBF North American, the WBC Silver, and the WBO NABO Super Lightweight titles. Richardson Hitchens, very, very exciting fighter. Like I say, had him on a few weeks ago. Very, very confident, you know. Speaking to him, he is so confident he's going to become a world champion next year. He's extremely happy that he's got this fight here against Jose Zepeda, who's a serious danger man. I mean, we know him, you know, all too well. Very, very good fighter. If you're not quite as good as you know, as you think you are, he can knock you out. I still remember his absolute, you know, cracker of a fight back in 2020 against Ivan Baranchik, where they were both down about 10 times each. You know, the guy has got a serious heart. He can crack. He's a southpaw. This is a massive step up for Richardson Hitchens, who tells me that he thinks he's going to win this and make it look quite easy, and then next year wants to fight the likes of Regis Progre. Sometimes you speak to a fighter and you kind of can, you know, you can tell by what they're saying they don't really believe some of the outlandish statements that they make. However, I didn't get that impression with Richardson Hitchens. He believes in himself, and I think he might be right. And I think we're going to find out a hell of a lot about him here. Like I say, you know, Zepeda, the three losses have come in good company. Terry Flanagan, you know, obviously was an unfortunate one there. Dislocated his shoulder, couldn't come out for round three, so he lost his O there. And then, yeah, very close majority decision loss to Jose Ramirez, and then the loss to Regis Progre most recently back in November of last year. But we know how good Progre is. But this guy only loses to the very best. And he beat this guy is just underneath that, like your Jose Pedraza's, like your Ivan Baranchik's, like I mentioned. this guy is the real deal. And I said it to Richardson, you know, I applaud him for taking this fight, because Zepeda is potentially the best fighter in the world at 140 that doesn't have a belt. Like I say, I'm extremely excited for this one. I think it's a great card. I think we're spoiled as boxing fans on Saturday, because I think, you know, the Joyce card, the undercard, and then this card here with the undercard, I think we've got a lot of juicy fights taking place on Saturday, a lot of really interesting ones. But this is a mark in Richardson Hitchin's career. We're going to learn a hell of a lot about him, because I think Jose Zepeda, even though he's had 40 fights now, certainly not done. Certainly not done. And yeah, if you can beat him in good fashion, I think you definitely will be a world champion, because Zepeda's much more than a gatekeeper. You beat him, you know, you're going straight to the top. Even at this point in his career, I still think he's an incredible, incredible fighter and a serious danger man to anyone who's not legit.
Well, just Richardson Hitchin, you know, he's a pretty awesome young fighter, got a lot, a pretty good future, but this Zepeda is a tough, tough, tough customer, and he's not going to be an easy guy for him to get through. But if he does, then maybe we should, you know, really, really give this guy even more credit than we have as a prospect moving into the contender status. So, yeah, because he's a hell of a young talent. And if he can get through this guy and do it pretty easily, like he said, man, it's gonna be one hell of a thing, and it's gonna be obviously a hell of a performance, and one that is gonna really propel him into the top of the game for sure.
Well, there we go. I cannot disagree with anything that you've just said there, Eddie. But yeah, that brings the preview part to a close. In part one, we did the review part. Then we welcomed our special guest, Mr. Zach Parker. In part two, there was no news to mention, but we've just wrapped up the preview part there. The final thing for me to do is to come in with the outro, which I'll do in just a few seconds. Okay, and this wraps up episode 414 of the Box Hard Podcast. I've been your host, Joey Coastman. Eddie Chambers has been with me for the duration of the show. Good to have Eddie back on. A huge shout out to this week's special guest, the hard-hitting super middleweight contender, Mr. Zach Parker. Can't wait to see him back this weekend. The biggest thanks of all, though, goes out to you, the listeners. Thanks once again for tuning in. There's just one thing I want to tell you all about. Basically, I've got a lot of boxing memorabilia, signed stuff and the rest of it, and I have put it on social media, but just for those that don't know about it, so basically I have a hand signed Billy Joe Saunders photo. It is in a frame. It has a hanging line at the back, so you can hang it straight onto a wall very easy. It comes with a certificate of authenticity. And basically, I'm kind of raffling it off, if you like. It is £3 per football team, if you understand how the football cards work. If you don't, then drop me a DM on social media and I'll explain it. But basically, there's 20 football teams. You pick a team, and then at the very top of the football card, once all teams have been sold, all 20, at £3 each, I'll scratch off the winning team at the very top. It's like a scratch card. You scratch that off, and then it will reveal the winning team. And that person will win the Billy Joe Saunders signed photo, and it will be shipped out to you free of charge to anywhere in the UK. So it's just a chance there for you to get your hands on a piece of signed boxing memorabilia with a certificate of authenticity for just £3. So that's something I want to let you guys know about. I'm looking at potentially doing a few more of these. I've got a few things I need to get rid of. But anyway, that brings this part of the show to a close. That's about everything from myself. Enjoy your weekends, people. Stay safe. Watch all the boxing, and we shall see you all again same time next week.